Blog Talk Radio.
Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Bracketism on our mind. So you're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and we are elite. So give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us, Facebook us, YouTube us. We are talking March Madness, the brackets. You know, we got to cover some of the Sweet 16, Ray. I thought it was really fascinating, and I got to ask you, before we go forward, let's go back. Did Notre Dame, in beating Wichita State and just the way that they played, did it give you any sort of positive feelings for the luck of the Fighting Irish that they might be ready for today's game against Kentucky to prevent perfection? Let's talk about those Thursday's games. What did you think about the Irish, man?
So, you know, what was interesting to me is that Notre Dame in its first two games hadn't really played that well, and they still won. They won a squeaker by Northeastern, and they won a game against Butler that they maybe should have lost, but they played defense at the end, had a block shot, and the rest is history. So now they go up against a Wichita State team that was pretty good, that put it on Kansas. You know, they won start to finish, so you thought this would be a good game. And it started out as a good game, but you know what? At the end, you just saw that Notre Dame kills you in so many ways. They can go inside. They can go outside. They have the senior in Grant. Van Vliet was good, but Notre Dame was better. And when they hit their threes, they can be dangerous. So actually, this is the type of team, because they're so different from Kentucky, this is the type of team that could give Kentucky a problem if they hit their threes. And they're more than capable of hitting, you know, 15, 17 threes to make the game very, very interesting. But I
wasn't
surprised. Plus they
spread the court, right? Don't you like how they...
And they have leadership in the backcourt, right? Connaughton and Grant, you got two seniors in the backcourt. You know, this kid Connaughton is a great athlete. He's a top baseball prospect, and he's probably going to be a professional baseball player.
Well, so, yeah, I was going to say, he's going to go play MLB for a living.
So they were saying how the GM, the Orioles GM, they're like, all right, don't hurt your shoulder now. Don't throw some crazy inbounds pass or get fouled on a three. But,
that's a good problem to have, though, right? I mean, you know,
exactly.
They talk about even Russell Wilson going to the Rangers camp today. They're hoping even at 30, if he's done with football, that he still might want to play second base for the Texas Rangers. That's, you know, pretty awesome stuff. You know what else I thought about that game, too? Real quick, I really think that Notre Dame, like you said, not only can they attack you in multiple ways, but their defense and how they play defense, they don't have tremendous size. You know, Nick August is the main sort of big guy, but what they can do is their guards can offensive rebound. You know, Grant gets to the glass, you know, Connaughton. I mean, I don't know how it's going to match up against Kentucky, but if Kentucky has an off game, which we'll get to in a minute because they surely didn't the other night, Notre Dame can potentially outscore them, but they're going to have to hit their threes. I mean, that's just basically it. So let's move over to the Tar Heels, man, against Wisconsin. You pulled me over to the dark side, which is, you know, our side because we love the Tar Heels. I thought all along in most of my brackets, I picked Wisconsin 79-72, and you were almost right, and I went with you. My biggest issue was Paige didn't try to take over until it was too late, and too many sloppy turnovers, but that's been us all season. But this is where I'm done. I'm washing my hands, and I know this might be a bold statement for a Tar Heel fan, But I think it's time for Roy to just gracefully move on and retire, because he does not – it's like he's not in the rhythm with the game. Do you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't stop runs. He doesn't call timeouts till it's 4 points too late. He doesn't switch up defenses. He doesn't – you know, he did have that one good three-point shot off a timeout, called a nice play off of, you know, a nice little up screen, the top of the key for – I forgot who hit that three, but – I don't know, Ray. I find it very frustrating watching him in the rhythm of the game, allowing games to get away from us. Do you feel the same way?
Well, this is what I will say to his defense, is that he hasn't changed. So this is the same Roy Williams
well,
that
yeah.
did this at Kansas. And
lost a lot of tournament games, you know.
He won a lot of tournament games, too, but you're right. Yeah. He lost a lot of tournament games. I think he's, what is he, number two in terms of tournament wins with Dean Smith, and then he'll pass Dean Smith. Now that's biased
well,
because, you know, they extended the field in 84, and
Coach
he's
K
playing
like
extra games.
Games over them.
Yeah,
over
Coach
both.
K is Coach K is Coach K, right? We'll talk about some of the coaches later on in the show, but I don't know that he's going anywhere. I mean, I think this guy's at Carolina – until he decides he's not, you know, he's leaving. He
well,
won the national championship.
Unless the scandals.
Okay, so if a scandal brings you down, that's one thing. But short of that, he's won two national championships, and he's a Carolina guy, and he coached under Dean Smith, and he's the next Dean Smith. So ultimately, I think you just have to live with it. As a Carolina fan, you just have to say, all right, the guy recruits. The guy gets great talent. Last few years have been kind of up and down, not really the Carolina standard, but I don't think he's going anywhere. I hear your frustration, and we've always said, you know, his up-tempo's great, but at the end of the day, where's the defense? Where's the consistency? This year's team, bad half-court execution, right? They gave away the Duke game at home, and then they were able to – well, that was at Duke, actually, right? And then they were able to, you know, stay close with Wisconsin – probably could have won that game, but you know what? Wisconsin was the better team. They executed better, so you can't be that upset at a 4 losing to number 1. But I hear you. The game was there to be had if you executed better, and it's plagued you all year. So it's like you
at
haven't
the
6
minute mark
the message.
Change. We were up and had it, and then they went on that run, and then it was 65-60. But real quick, because we got to go to a Kentucky game, but you said it, and you said his name, so I got to talk about that story with Dean Smith. In the reading of his will, and, you know, legally he passed out to all his lettermen a check for $200 so that they could go out and have a nice dinner and just remember him. And to me, I mean, I almost teared up. And, you know, Kenny Smith spoke about it on CBS, but all the, you know, Tar Heel guys – was on Twitter, but I just think that right there shows the man, the leader, the father, the gentleman, the coach that Dean Smith is. Wow. And, you know, he's basically giving $200 to guys that, you know, probably don't need it, but he's like, you know what, thank you for all that you did for me. Go have a great dinner and just enjoy yourself on the dinner. And you don't need to say any more, you know?
Yeah,
beautiful
great
story.
Gesture. Totally unexpected, but you know, you hear these stories about Dean Smith, and he just continues to amaze you.
From the grave. God bless him. Kentucky, Ray, how about this kid? I think he was hiding in the bathroom after the game. 0 for 2 from the field, from 3-point, 0 for 1, 0 for 2, or 1 from the line. This kid was Dexter, whatever. I mean, you can't talk junk before the game and then not even ball a little bit. Not even a little bit. What Kentucky did to West Virginia, I'm starting to love, you know, I never rooted against this team, and I like to see history. We both predicted them to go 40-0, but now it's hard to root against them because they play so great. 78-39 was out of their kindness. It could have been 100-30. And also what I love is that when Carl Anthony Towns isn't playing good, okay, so you got Booker, Johnson, and Lee off the bench who just come in and contribute. And like he said, it's reinforcements. Beautiful game, beautiful job. Kentucky, they're smart. They're selfless. It's a great story, Ray.
That's the part that's most impressive to me, is that they're selfless. And nobody on that team won SEC Player of the Year, although you could argue they have seven or eight guys that could have been the best player in the SEC. You know, with all due respect to Portis at Arkansas, who was a great player and had a great year. But these Kentucky kids bought into a system. They play D. They play unselfishly. And you know what? Good for Calipari for getting on them and keeping them humble. And maybe the only way to keep kids at that caliber humble is to put them against kids their same caliber, you know what I mean, in practice and in scrimmages. Because any one of these kids would be a diva superstar potentially on any other college team. And they're not, because they signed up to play ball, and then maybe they'll be a diva in the pros, but these guys are great.
Perry gets the credit too, because remember, he even said he hired an analytics guy to show them and to report to the NBA what these guys are doing per minute. So, it, he's selling them along the way during the season. I just think that's so great, where people love to diss and rip Calipari and, you know, whatever, for what he's done back and forth, you know, Memphis, UMass, whatever. But to me, I give him so much credit. Because like you said, when we had Zendon Hamilton on, to get talented young freshmen to play defense the way they do, and not just the freshmen, the sophomores, Cauley Steiner Jr., that's a great story in itself. So we'll talk forward about them in Notre Dame. How about Sean Miller, Chris Mack? Xavier played their butt off, Ray. Did you ever feel like they could do it? 68-60, Arizona pulls through. And I don't know if we've applauded the play of T.J. McConnell enough, the point guard enough. You know what I mean?
Well,
because he's just amazing.
Xavier played their hearts out, but never did I think watching the game that Arizona would lose the game. So I felt like Arizona was going to win that game, whether it be Stanley Johnson or T.J. McConnell, Brandon Ashley, the big fella. You know, they've got so much talent and so much depth that or talent across the starting five that they can definitely – what's that ringing in the background, man? What's going on there?
The most FaceTime.
Craziness. Everybody's getting crazy. So anyway, the point that I'm saying is Arizona was in steady control the whole game. And we'll talk about the next round, but clearly you feel like Arizona hasn't really been tested. And let's see what happens in the next game. We'll talk about that because they play Wisconsin, obviously. But Arizona looks good. I'll tell you what, if you're right now sitting in Tucson, you're thinking, all right, we got a chance. We got a chance at this thing. But,
and
yeah,
they got blood
impressed,
in their
very
mouth,
impressed.
Which is the rematch against Wisconsin from, you know, last year.
Yep.
So they are hungry. So let's move on to, and, you know, listen, Sean Miller – he does probably need to get to a Final Four or win a championship to start to get the label of what he deserves, which is, you know, just a great coach. But I think he's on the cusp. You know what Lute has done, Sean. It's going to take some time, but he's on his way. I think he's got control of the program. Great recruiting, great coach. Let's talk about what Steve Alford's doing, because UCLA Gonzaga, I was so impressed with UCLA, and I think both teams struggled, and maybe the NCAA committee's got to check this out with these sites. You know, it seems like even in the Duke game you saw it, the shooting in that background, in that arena, for some reason, it was not happening. UCLA Gonzaga was horrible. The Duke game, they lost. Everybody missed their first 11 shots before Okafor hit that shot inside. So Gonzaga wins 74-62. Kanowski, I mean, the whole team, the backcourt, Bell and Pagos, they're just so deep. Sabonis off the bench, double-double. Gonzaga, to me, and you saw on Twitter, everybody, from Stockton to Dan Dickow, the whole Gonzaga, you're so happy for the program, the coach for staying. But I give UCLA credit because they did try, you know, they played a little bit, you know what I mean? Because I think they were overmatched. But Alford and Parker, you know, did their thing, even though nobody was really shooting. But to me, Gonzaga's just too much posse, right?
Yeah, they're too strong for UCLA. UCLA probably shouldn't have even been there. We talked about how they maybe shouldn't have even made the tournament. But they got there. They won their two games. And then, really, it was as simple as, you know, the better team won, and they were far better start to finish. You know, if these two teams play 10 times, Gonzaga wins 9 of them. So Gonzaga also, you could argue, you know, hasn't really been tested, right, between North Dakota, Iowa, and now UCLA. So that may or may not hurt them next round when they play Duke. We'll talk about Duke in a sec. But Gonzaga looks good. I'll tell you what, Gonzaga, like Arizona, is a complete team. They don't really have weaknesses.
They're so crispy. Don't you feel like they're so sharp? I'm not so worried about the opponents because I think it's about them playing their game. And I think you started to really see them play their game, you know, more so in the second half. Listen, if their guards are rolling and then, like I mentioned last show, and that bench is just going, they're so tough. It's
they are. And you know what? You know what's crazy is they've had so much success, but it's been in the regular season and the WCC conference and early in the brackets, because this is their first time going to an Elite Eight. And I thought, surely they've been to an Elite Eight before. But no, they just make it to the Sweet 16 and then they lose.
Well, they were in Elite Eight in 99, but that was under Munson.
No, okay, so not under Few.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a Few's first stab at it. You know what I mean? So that's, you know. So let's talk NC State, Louisville. You know, that was exciting. I mean, NC State, for a minute, with Lacey and the boys, they really looked like they were going to do something. And then Louisville's bench, I mean, these guys come out of nowhere. Patino is almost having a run of the luck of the Irish, right? Because this team, we know they play defense. Harrell and Rozier's been consistent, but Harrell's been up and down. But then Blackshear, but then you got off the bench. What was it, Gill or the guard? I mean, and Snyder. I mean, they didn't even play the two games before. So I think 75-65, good for them. And that was impressive because you thought NC State's guards would outplay Louisville's and you thought it would be all Harrell. But look, when Harrell gets 24 and what do you have, 24-7 and Rozier double-double, too much. Congrats to Patino. And, you know, we'll talk about that next matchup in a minute. You know,
Patino and the Louisville Cardinals, one of those dangerous teams, right? Patino's a crafty coach.
Oh, they're playing great.
They've got some guys that have some national championship experience. They have confidence. They play D. When their shooting is on, they can be inside, outside. So Louisville's a tough team.
Yeah. So Utah Duke, look, the shooting was rough in the beginning. Utah's a heck of a team. I applaud the other Coach K, Larry K.
Zoiak.
Yeah, you know, the former Milwaukee Buck. You got to love him. But I think overall, I'm starting to realize that Jones, Winslow, and Okafor, they're special. And Jones has the savvy. Tyus Jones has the savvy. He's already better than both the Harrisons. And it's not, you know, can't compare them to different games. But do you know what I mean? The way the kid finishes games, hits free throws. And I don't know if you saw that controversy because of the .07 and they hit the free throw at the end after the foul on Cook. The spread was 5, so it changed, you know, millions of dollars in Vegas and worldwide. So that's kind of funny. 63-57. But Justice Winslow, he's special, right? Because he plays both sides of the floor. Do you see like a little, almost like a little Scottie Pippen or something in him? Like he's gonna be a good NBA player.
Yeah, I don't know who he is in the NBA game. So we'll have to work on that a little bit, but this
right.
kid is special,
you see the
right?
defense already.
Oh, you definitely see the defense. And then when he puts up 24 and leads all scorers, you see his offensive skills come about. And again, Duke is one of those schools like Carolina and like Kentucky recently that you might not be able to, because of the team concept and because they drill it into their heads, you might not see his pro potential, right?
Oh, yeah.
Until he hits the pro level, right? It's like a wild, you know, wild
like
animal. Like, when you get out and they take the cage off of you, you could roar. You know, you could get out there and do your thing. And the NBA is one of those, athletes do special things in the NBA. And this kid Winslow, Justice Winslow, looks like one of those guys. And to go into the league playing defense, that helps. So you know you're going to get your minutes.
GMs are drooling over that. They're drooling over that because it's different from Jabari Parker, you know what I mean, who was so polished offensively. This guy, you might not have to set plays for him in the NBA for the first couple of years. He'll find his game, but he might just get you 10, you know, a couple of steals, some rebounds, and 10 points just from hustle and scrappiness. So speaking of hustle and scrappiness.
Yeah, go ahead.
Michigan State, Oklahoma. Probably the best game of the Sweet 16. They go back and forth. Oklahoma was sort of in control for most of it. But what we're seeing, and we talked about this, I guess, an episode or two ago, a couple stars in this tournament emerging, and one of them is Travis Trice. Dawson had no help. Valentine had the clutch rebound after Costello tipped it and got the rebound and got the foul to basically solidify the game. For them to go up, I think it was 62-58 at that time or something. But they win 62-58, and I think Izzo and Pitino, we'll talk about it, but he's doing a great coaching job. Dawson, though, to advance, Dawson's going to have to wake up, I think, Ray. But Travis Trice is a star right now. It's just beautiful to watch. And give Oklahoma credit. They balled out.
Yeah, they did, and Oklahoma – probably is kicking themselves because they're thinking we only scored 58 points, you know.
Yeah.
Michigan State won, scoring 62. But we talked about it, and I said never mess with Michigan State and Tom Izzo. Unless you can blow them out and unless you're far superior to them, they're going to stick around, and they're probably going to win. So this Michigan State team is not the best. It's not even one of the better teams he's had in a long time. But like Louisville, it's too bad they have to play each other. They are headed by a coach that knows how to win, knows how to press the right buttons, knows how to make in-game adjustments, halftime adjustments. And these guys, you know what? They coach totally differently, Pitino and Izzo. But the common denominator is their teams step up. They find a way to win in March. And, you know, we predicted at Michigan State, this team is great, and you know they're a number 7 seed, but they're a dangerous 7 seed. You know they're not a regular top 7 seed. Not at all.
So let's move forward. Today starts off Arizona, Wisconsin. It's a rematch of last year. It's a great game. In the Elite Eight, you've got 3 teams from the ACC, 2 from the Big Ten, and then 1-1-1. But what I like about Arizona-Wisconsin is that, one, Wisconsin, you saw Trayvon Jackson, who was, back, Trey Jackson playing, Jimmy Jackson's son, back and playing at the end of the game. Guys are starting to really rally. I think Sam Decker is, like Trice, emerging. And Decker is playing so well that he's really hard to guard. He cuts to the hoop. He can shoot. He's getting the offensive glass. I think their interior passing for Wisconsin is so superior. But the only reason why, Ray, I got to go with Arizona is because the way TJ McConnell plays, Stanley Jefferson is a man, and Stanley Johnson and Rondae Hollis Jefferson, the two of them are so athletic that I think that they'll be able to sort of bang and rotate with Frank the Tank and Hayes. And maybe Stanley Johnson will be like, you know what, I'm going to take the challenge and I'm going to try to put the lock on Decker. Now, I don't know if he could stop him, in terms of hitting those threes if Decker heats up, but I got to favor Arizona in terms of the point guard and a little bit more athletic. I think Arizona wins by 3, maybe 73-70. Great game.
I think this might be the best game of the tournament.
Yeah.
And these two teams, if they played each other 10 times, it might be 5-5.
Yeah.
I think that Arizona is a team that's been knocking on the door. Bo Ryan has been to a Final Four. I think Sean Miller is dying to get his team over the hump, and this may just be the team that he does it with because he's got some size to deal with Frank Kaminsky. Now Frank is an inside-outside player, so you know if the guy's slow, he'll go by him. If the guy's small, he'll take him down in the post. But I think that, like you said, Trayvon Jackson is probably not at 100%. And he's got to guard McConnell and those wing players for Arizona, the two big men, and then Brandon Ashley at the four is the X factor, you know?
Yeah.
I have a feeling that this game comes down to a final possession and Arizona wins. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Badgers in another Final Four, but I'm going with Arizona.
Yeah. Now, either look, it's a coin toss, but we're both taking Zona. So this is the game that I knew was going to happen when I filled out my brackets. Notre Dame, Kentucky, and I don't know if you remember, but I said it like way, way back, February, that Notre Dame might be a team because of how they could score that could upset Kentucky. We're here now, and I got to say, nobody's beating Kentucky. I think Notre Dame's got one of the best chances. Obviously, the winner of Arizona-Wisconsin is right there, too. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I just think Karl-Anthony Towns and Cauley Stein, they're going to eat up on the inside and the offensive glass Notre Dame. And I think Cauley Stein can play outside with some of their perimeter players. Nick August might get in foul trouble. And then you've got, you know, Lee and Johnson coming in. It's too much. So Kentucky wins maybe 10, 8, 11 points. Good game, though. Big Blue Nation, have no fear.
Well, here's the thing. I think Kentucky's going to win. I think they're by far the better team. They haven't been blowing anybody out, though. So I would say that this game should be a blowout. I think Kentucky will pull away in the second half. Just for some reason, like I said, they haven't been blowing teams out in this tournament. So I think Kentucky handles Notre Dame. Notre Dame stays in the game because of their senior guards. I think August does get in foul trouble. He's gotten in foul trouble in the previous games, and you have to guard, you know, Johnson, Karl-Anthony Towns, Willie
Cauley
Stein.
Yeah, now he's doing it against real boys.
and the driving guards. So I just think that Kentucky is better in every way, and I don't know that West Virginia, even their senior guards, will really disrupt Kentucky's flow. And so unless they get a third or maybe even a fourth scorer, West Virginia, that scores 15, 18 a game, this game, and keeps it close. I think it's a blowout. I think Kentucky wins by 15. I just can't see West Virginia. West Virginia couldn't hang with them. They're coming off the West Virginia momentum, and I think Notre Dame, like I said, good team, good offensive team. I just think you have to be clicking on all cylinders, and Kentucky takes them out of their game, wins by 15.
Yeah, you know, it's surely not going to be easy. You know, that's the one thing that you realize when you look at this type of matchup. It's going to be fun. Sunday. This is what we've been waiting for. Michigan State, Louisville. A 7-4. They probably were chomping at the bit, both of them, when they got in this bracket. And at the same time, I think both of these coaches are probably almost surprised that their players kind of woke up. You know, it's like they March Madness came on and everybody said, hey, we'll play our best. And I think the passion of these two coaches and just the attention to detail from Izzo to Pitino is why both teams are elite and why they're here. And you could almost argue that these two coaches and how they recruit, that they could every year almost take a team at least to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. And I think it's beautiful to see. Rozier, Trice, these different matchups, it's going to be fascinating. I want to see if Montrezl Harrell can do what he can do on the glass and scoring against Valentine. But to me, Ray, this is about Dawson. And they're losing if he can't score over 10 points. He's got to find some offense to help this team. It can't be all Travis Trice. You know, maybe Costello steps up. You don't know. But I just think the way that they got Oklahoma, it's going to be different with Louisville, because Louisville can score some more inside and then maybe even more a little athletic and defensive minded than Oklahoma. I don't know who to pick, but for some reason, I'm just going to go with Izzo because I'm always, you know, betting on Izzo. I think it's going to be a classic game. And just like Arizona, Wisconsin, like you said, this might be right up there with the best game of the tournament, because it's not about the seeds. It's about the players, the coaching, and we'll see how Louisville does, you know, what they do defensively. You know, they kind of tripped up NC State a little bit, and we'll see how this works. But my bet is if Dawson can get you, 10, 11, 12 points or more, Michigan State will win. So I'll take Michigan State.
So, you know, I hate to agree with you, but Michigan State, I've rode them the whole way, and I said that this bracket, as soon as I saw that they had Villanova a weak-ish number one, Virginia a suspect number two, Iowa State I actually thought would be the hardest matchup in this bracket. But I saw this bracket, and I said, you know what, Michigan State's going to the Final Four. And I would have said that any year with Tom Izzo, but specifically he had an underachieving team, so had a reason to get on them. And Brandon Dawson, you're right, is a senior, and he really needs to step up. I mean, it's a Final Four is right there for you to have. And I think they'll find a way to beat an up-and-down Louisville team. And, you know, there's some teams that don't beat themselves and some teams that do. Louisville can beat themselves, right? They can turn the ball over. They can shoot poorly. And I think that Michigan State, if they get under their skin a little bit and go execute, they'll win a close game. But I like Michigan State to make it to another Final Four.
Isn't that amazing? Just when you say it out loud, it's almost unreal. This is an interesting game for me, Ray. The last on Sunday, late afternoon, Duke Gonzaga won against a two. It's pretty much what most people predicted in their brackets. You and I had it. I don't like Duke. I hate Duke. You know, not hate in the sense of hate, but, you know, as a Tar Heel fan, St. John's, Maryland, I can't stand Duke. But they're special this year. And as Kenny Smith says, the school from Durham, I love that. That is hilarious to me. As great as Gonzaga is, and I love their bench and just the way that they play, and this is not a Duke team that's deep, but with Plumlee, who's going to play a lot in this game, and the way that Okafor can score, you know, they're going to have such a matchup, Okafor and Konowski, and it's going to be a battle. But I just think this is where Jones, Cook, and Winslow are going to prove to be special, and especially Winslow. And I think Duke wins a close one, maybe 70, 79, 76. It's going to be great.
Wow.
I just think Jones and Winslow.
Game.
Yeah, I think they're going to be the difference makers. But Okafor, he's going to get tested, Ray. He's going to
All right,
test.
So look, I think the same outcome that kills me to pick the same as Tay, you know that, but I think Kentucky and Duke are on a collision course for each other. And I think that the key here is going to be Quinn Cook. I think he's a senior. He's a great shooter. He's kind of passed the reins to his partner in the backcourt. And I think that a senior every so often in the tournament steps up and has a huge game. And I do believe that this is the best Gonzaga team they've ever had, because they got the two big men. And I think if this were 2 years from now and Sabonis was still there, the outcome might be a little different, because I think this kid is going to be special. But
does Sabonis stay
Bengals,
for 2 years? Does he stay? Or
Mark
you think
might keep him. maybe for one more year. I mean, he hasn't even started. And but then again, you look back in history, and you might have a Marvin Williams situation where,
you know,
they win the national championship, and he's the sixth man, and he comes out, and he's the number two pick in the draft. Now, he hasn't played up to number two pick in the draft status, so maybe he should have stayed at Carolina. But it's hard, especially in this NBA that doesn't have size, legitimate
and
size,
Sabonis,
left-hander.
He's so skilled.
Yeah, he needs to put on 15, 20 pounds. But, yeah, this kid is nice, but you know what? At the end of the day, I think Duke is too tough. I think Duke is, like you said, too talented, and inside, outside, and Jahlil Okafor will run up against two big men, but I still think he'll be neutralized. I still think that the backcourt's going to be better. So as we wrap up the show, I'm just going to read off the names of the coaches, and you tell me if this is the best collection of coaches you've ever heard. We've ever seen. We got a little reverb going on your side. I don't know if it's on your side.
No, I don't hear anything.
Okay. So a little bit better. But here, looking through the coaches. Patino, national championship. Izzo, national championship. Mike Krzyzewski, four national championships. Mark Few, the best winning percentage of all time in NCAA history. Sean Miller, up-and-coming coach. Bull Ryan, several Final Fours. Mike Bray, you know, many years at Duke, and then doing his thing at Notre Dame, and then John Calipari. I mean, could this be, and he's got a national championship, obviously, a couple years ago.
It could be one of the best.
The best collection of coaches ever.
Well, put it like this. We don't want to get too crazy because just think of going back to the Final Four in 85 when it was Carnesecca, Thompson, Rolly Massimino, and you had Patino, young Patino. We didn't know he'd be what he is now. But and then I think of Bobby Knight when Indiana, you know, won against Jim Boeheim. I mean, there have been some great –
But I'm saying this collection of eight head coaches collectively – is just unbelievable.
It's more than elite, and I think it's going to be great to watch. I think college basketball, yes, they need to switch the shot clock, stop all the fouls. The refs are blowing the whistles way too much. It's too, you know, the game. But this is going to be a great Saturday and Sunday and a great weekend for college basketball. And once they sort of make a couple adjustments with the game – and then maybe do the, you know, go straight to the pros or stay 3 years, it has the potential to be so amazing, and March Madness can be even better than it is. I think with all those things going against it, it still can't mess it up because it's about the kids, the effort, and the matchups. So, hey, enjoy it. We'll be back Monday, and we will preview the Final Four. Wednesday, our special MLB preview. We'll break down the standings, who's going to win MVP, Cy Young, the playoffs, the whole nine. Then, you know, everybody's got the holidays to celebrate, and then we'll be back the following week. So check us out Monday evening, Ray and Tate Today. Thanks for listening, and like always, Ray, enjoy the sports weekend and talking sports with friends.
We're out. Go enjoy the games.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be fun. Peace.